It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The city of Fort Worth has spent more than a year hashing out a new contract with its police. Yesterday, the deal was announced. Officers have been working under the old contract that was supposed to be replaced last September. KERA's Christopher Connolly says the tentative agreement would increase pay and incentives for Fort Worth's 1,600 officers.
The contract adds about $20 million to the city's police budget. It'll give officers a 2.2% raise in July and yearly increases every October after that. It'll also give better pay incentives for things like passing physical fitness tests and earning college degrees. Assistant City Manager Valerie Washington says the deal helps Fort Worth hire and retain top quality officers.
We tried to set ourselves up so we could be competitive. So we would want recruits and even lateral recruits to want to join our police department.
Lateral recruits is police lingo for officers transferring from other departments. The tentative contract allows Police Chief Joel Fitzgerald to hire more of them, although that was something of a sticking point in the negotiations. Fort Worth Police Officers Association President Rick Van Houten says the contract ensures that those transfers are vetted the same way as brand new officers.
Ultimately, when they put a Fort Worth badge on, they represent the Fort Worth Police Department, not the previous municipality. And we want to make sure that everybody has met the same standard.
Officers also won concessions on things like overtime and scheduling. Another complicated negotiation was reworking disciplinary procedures for when cops are accused of doing wrong. One provision gives officers the right to look at body camera footage before making a statement about an incident that's under review.
And if I'm wearing a camera and I turn that camera on, why shouldn't I have the ability to view it to make sure that my memory is correct? Everybody else is going to Monday morning quarterback me off of it.
Valerie Washington says the city wanted to make sure the labor agreement didn't unfairly protect officers over citizens.
We do want to make sure the labor agreements are not unfairly protecting an officer over a citizen. It was our desire to make sure we were meeting in the middle and making sure officers would be fairly represented, but it wasn't at the detriment of citizens either.
The deal still needs approval from the officers and Fort Worth City Council. That's expected within a month. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
For Isaac Lidsky, living without sight has been a constant battle between how he sees himself and how others see him. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with Lidsky, a former child actor and law clerk at the U.S. Supreme Court, about a lesson he learned traveling in Philadelphia with his boss, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor.
She caught wind of my plans to meet up with a friend at a cigar bar and insisted on taking me there in this 7-car motorcade. She's notorious for being super protective of her law clerks. And I knew that. But along the way, I was kind of wondering, is this different? Just because I'm blind, does she think that just how much help does she think I require? And you know, as it turned out, her concern, her insistence that she take me to the cigar bar really had to do with the fact that they had received a threat. And unbeknownst to me, the justice, she kind of didn't want to worry me, but she did want to make sure that I was taken care of and protected. And so here I was making assumptions about the way she was viewing me. You know, that experience really reminded me how important it is to live with sort of awareness of and accountability for the perceptions we make about ourselves, the perceptions we, you know, foist upon others about ourselves.
Isaac Lidsky is an entrepreneur and the author of the book Eyes Wide Open, Overcoming Obstacles and Recognizing Opportunities in a World That Can't See Clearly. He was once a child actor and law clerk at the U.S. Supreme Court. This episode of Think airs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. Central Market is starting to grow its own veggies in shipping containers on store property. They're known as Growtainers and have customizable options for controlling light, moisture, temperature, and CO2 levels. They're the result of a partnership between HEB's upscale grocery store brand and a Dallas startup called CEA Advisors. Glenn Bierman is that company's founder. He told the public radio news magazine Texas Standard, the goal is to improve the quality of produce, but not necessarily quantity.
We've designed this particular system to create unique, unusual, rare, you know, gourmet, small quantities of really top-of-the-line stuff.
A container at Central Market in Dallas uses red and blue spectrum LED light to help the veggies grow, and it's big, with 50 levels and 500 square feet of growing space. The Cultural Affairs Commission in Dallas held a public briefing yesterday on a big offer by a private entity. The Moody Foundation wants to give the city $22 million in all. $12 million would pay down the debt at the AT&T Performing Arts Center. The other $10 million is the subject of our weekly feature, State of the Arts. And as Jerome Weeks reports, that's where things get a little more complicated.
Jennifer Scripps, the director of the Office of Cultural Affairs, outlined the proposal to a dozen of the city's cultural commissioners at the Latino Cultural Center. A separate, nonprofit fund would be set up to receive $1 million a year for a decade. The fund would use that money to send grants to the city's smaller and emerging arts groups. In return, Dallas would rename the City Performance Hall in the Arts District the Moody Performance Hall. John Paul Batiste is chair of the Cultural Commission.
It's exciting. We've always talked about how can we strengthen support for a mid-sized and small arts organization. Here's an opportunity to do that.
The proposal was met with similar approval by commissioners, but also with reservations.
We're very grateful that they're interested in supporting the arts in Dallas. I think the real question is just how would the funding flow towards the smaller organizations.
Lori Stahl is a cultural commissioner. She and others raised concerns about how the fund will establish two panels to approve grant requests. One panel would be local arts advocates who'd review the initial applications. Their choices would then be sent to a three-member executive committee for final approval. This committee would include an arts advocate, the OCA director, and someone from the AT&T Performing Arts Center who would represent the Moody Foundation's interests. Stahl said the concern of some arts groups and commissioners was that all decision-making by this executive committee would be private.
The allocations process for the city is very detailed and transparent. The meetings are open. As I understand the proposal, the final decision-making process for the grants would be made behind closed doors.
John Paul Batiste said the proposal is still being negotiated, but this would be a private fund, not part of the city arts budget.
This is really not a city-run activity. Because it is private endowment, those rules govern the operation. So right now in this negotiation, we're pushing as hard as we can for the integrity of our mission as a cultural affairs council.
Jennifer Scripps, the OCA director, pointed out at the briefing such a private fund does have advantages. City arts money comes with serious restrictions. While these new grants could address issues OCA can't, but that smaller groups constantly struggle with, like marketing or staffing.
They can't fund staff development, and they can't fund travel. We have a lot of trouble funding artists and residency programs because they include things like housing allowances.
Scripps stressed renaming the hall is not the same as a corporate sponsorship, the way AT&T, for instance, paid for the rights to name the Performing Arts Center. Corporate sponsorships are for a limited time and come with trademark restrictions and marketing opportunities. If the Dallas City Council approves this proposal, the City Performance Hall will be Moody Performance Hall in perpetuity. On April 20th, the cultural commissioners will meet for a public debate and vote on the proposal. If it passes, and if it passes the City Council's Arts Committee, it's scheduled to be presented to the Dallas City Council as a whole May 24th. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
Should be mostly cloudy skies later this evening, low around 63 tonight. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high near 82, and tomorrow night, partly cloudy, low around 66. It's currently 81 degrees in Dallas, 79 in Fort Worth, 83 in Tyler, and 77 in Wichita Falls. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.